I told a story here recently in a sermon that I gave on marriage, a divine institution. Because some were not here, I want to tell that story again. It's a story that's been around a long time, and it will fit with this message today. I gave it, like I said, told the story a few weeks ago in that sermon that I did give on marriage, a divine institution. Again, it goes back to that scientist and God. Okay? They were having a conversation. One day, a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell him that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people and do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go and get lost? God listened very patiently and kindly to the man. And after the scientist was done talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's say we have a man making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, great. But God added, now we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam. And the scientist said, sure, no problem, and bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt. God just looked at him and said, no, 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 you go get your own dirt. Sizes up, does it not? Again, God created everything. I want to give a message today and use that story to kind of play off from as well here in a moment. I want to give a message today that is as fundamental to what we do in our belief system as anything we do. You're here today on the Sabbath. It was mentioned in the prayer. Talking, frankly, to some of you last week, I decided to give a message on the Sabbath itself. You can title this sermon, simply apply it to you personally, because it really does need to be applied personally always as well, most of all. Why do I keep the Sabbath? It's as fundamental to our belief system as you can get. It is the bedrock, cornerstone doctrine, you might say, and teachings of the Orthodox Jews. Nothing is more associated with the Jew than the keeping of the seventh-day Sabbath. We know that. I want to speak simply today about the Sabbath, and I want to simply use this as the source. I don't need to go to other men's writings that try to explain why we keep the Sabbath, or go to others' writings who say why we should not have to keep the Sabbath. I want to use this book today that we all can look at and get the answers from that book. You see why? Get your own dirt. Every argument that is made regarding the Sabbath has to come from this book. And that's why it's imperative that we look at this book and get into it and see what God says about the Sabbath. God's Word. God is the author of all things. He is the author of every word in this book. We know without going to 2 Timothy 3 that we could go to there about verses 14 to 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for reproof, correction, and what have you, for knowledge. We know that. Every word is inspired by God. He is the author, the authority of this book. Every word emanates from Him. Jesus Christ, as that Logos, speaks the very words of His Father. And every word spoken always is back to the authority of our Heavenly Father in all things. As I spoke in that sermon a few weeks ago on marriage and gave a thorough knowledge and understanding to the fact that it is a divine institution from creation, God has a copyright, again, on the marriage itself. He has that patent on marriage itself. As I brought out and used that same story then to illustrate, if you're going to change what we define as marriage, then you're going to have to call it by another name, because only God ordains marriage. It was ordained at the beginning with Adam and Eve, as I went through. By the same parallel analogy, God instituted the Sabbath at creation. It is a divine institution. How many of us still understand from our history lessons that the presidency is an institution? That has been lost on many people. No man is greater than the office of the presidency because it is an institution created to serve the whole nation. Men have lost sight of that. Certainly, I feel the one we have now certainly never even had sight of it. But the Sabbath day itself is there again a divine institution from creation. We know that in 6 days God created all things. If you would, just take your Bible and let's go there to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Let God's Word begin to speak on this matter. I was actually talking to my brother, Rick, on the phone this week. And I told him I was going to speak on this subject. And he, in essence, said nothing more fundamental to speak on. And that we all need to go back and review sometimes these fundamental things that we do. If someone asks you, why do you keep the Sabbath? That you're able to simply explain why you do what you do. We see here in verse 31, God had made everything in 6 days. Chapter 1, verse 31. God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So that evening and morning were the sixth day. Opening chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all of His work which He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all of His work which God had created and made. We see here, from the very beginning, we see the Sabbath was created. It was as much a created institution as was marriage itself. You see that it also was a separate covenant. I think that's what's been lost on many people over the centuries. The Sabbath is a separate covenant even of itself given at creation to man. Think about something. God had created everything in 6 days. The seventh day, He rested from His labors. Everything was perfect. What do you think Adam and Eve were doing on the seventh day? They were meeting with God, no doubt. Some might say, well, you can't prove that. Well, I got a whole lot more reason to say that they likely very much were in some type of a meeting assembly before God. And I will show you why here in a moment. Brethren, God posted this tremendous sign and landmark of the Sabbath at the very beginning in its own separate sphere of being a separate covenant, a created institution that is perpetual, that is to be long-lasting. I might pass on a point of history. I don't know if it fits, but I think somehow maybe it does. Do you know the biggest argument that Abraham Lincoln made for not letting the southern states initially succeed? Is because under the old Articles of Confederation that we were governed under before the Constitution, the word was in there, perpetual union. And Lincoln always said that it was understood when we did the Constitution, even though the word wasn't in there, perpetual, that it was an understanding that this union cannot be broken. And that's why he fought so hard to hold the Union together to start. Brethren, do you see the analogy here? The Sabbath is a perpetual covenant forever. And I will show that at the end of the sermon as well. We know, as we've done the day of Pentecost here this past Sunday, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Exodus 20, because again, we see something here in Exodus chapter 19 and 20. Go there to Exodus chapter 20. As I continue to look at the words of God regarding the matter of this very special covenant of the Sabbath. I was here a few weeks ago. I will only reference to it, chapter 19. We see here, as I brought out a few weeks ago, that Israel had come to Mount Sinai. God said to Moses, prepare them as a people, have them wash themselves, put on, I'm sure, their finest clothes, and call an assembly. Brethren, I brought that out. This was actually the day of Pentecost. Most biblical scholars, and certainly all Orthodox Jews understand pretty much that the giving of the law was done on the day of Pentecost. As you read through these chapters past 19 into chapter 20, God is giving His laws. People who say that the law was first given at Sinai simply do not understand the Word of God. I took you back a while back in a sermon and pointed out in Genesis 4 how God told Cain when he murdered Abel. Remember, if you do bad or evil, sin lies at your door. How could God have held Cain accountable for the act of murder, which is one of the commands, unless he had given instruction to the effects of murder itself? That's logic. You're here at chapter 20 of Exodus. Drop down to verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let's stop there and consider something. Look at the words given to the Sabbath. Have you ever thought about more words are given to the keeping of the Sabbath than any of the other commands? Why is that? Why is the word starting out, remember the Sabbath day? God loved the Sabbath day so much that He gave it a name. The Sabbath. No other day of the week did God give a name to. The Sabbath was special to God from the very beginning, and He meant it to be special for mankind. You see there all these words, and that key word is remember. I mentioned that on the spur of the moment about there again. If you know history, if you've studied it, I mentioned Lincoln. Lincoln felt it almost as if a God-given mission to hold this union together. Remember the first year or two of the war, Civil War, Lincoln's whole thing was, I must preserve the union. And it's because he felt it was a perpetual union, not to be broken. A covenant that was made by our forefathers. Brethren, that's the Sabbath. It is a perpetual covenant, enduring, as I will show later, always to endure, never to cease as a covenant to be observed. Why do we keep the Sabbath? We've been asked that. I've been asked that in my life. I've had to explain to more than one person in my life, and I'm sure you have. And again, I wanted to just go back and do this message as a foundational message. And what I plan to give next week will actually kind of spin off from the message I'm giving here about the Sabbath. But the message I have in view next week has to do with some things that are happening also in our modern age. And I definitely want to continue kind of a theme next week. The Sabbath in the Hebrew word simply means in Strong 6942, the word Sabbath means to make, pronounce, observe as clean, ceremonially or morally, consecrate, dedicate, hallow, be or to keep holy, purify, sanctify. We know that when the marriage covenant is done in a marriage, and when we marry someone, and those words that are many times expressed, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. We look at marriage that way, right? And we know ourselves that marriage, no matter what society says or anybody else says, marriage is a perpetual covenant between man and woman, created of God. The Sabbath is no difference. It is a covenant created, an institution divine, created like no other day of the week for specific, special purposes. We know the number 7 in Scripture is perfection. Every Bible scholar knows that. Even lay people, most of them, a lot of people know that. Oh yeah, number 7, that's perfection. It's like almost like, duh. Why did God create a seventh day, number 7, to be special, a day of rest, a day of memorial? By the way, a memorial day. We had Memorial Day weekend last week. To what? Commemorate all the people who have served in the armed forces. What is the Sabbath every week? that we observe? A memorial. It is also a memorial. As Christ has many names, the Sabbath has many references you can give to it. And the older I've gotten, the more I realize how special that day is. I want us to turn to Isaiah 58. You probably won't hear nothing new today. But hopefully you will have your senses as the Holy Spirit works with your human spirit, that you will see things maybe a little deeper today, hopefully, from what you read and hear from God's Word. Isaiah 58. These are such familiar scriptures here as we look at some scriptures, a couple of scriptures, in fact. Verse 13, Isaiah 58. We're told here that if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Notice, my holy day. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, again, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Those words lay out very clearly, and what those words to me say is this. God says, I gave you 6 days of the week to honor yourself. I say that a little facetiously, but humorously, but seriously. We have 6 days a week to honor ourselves. By the way, there's a term that you didn't hear 35 years ago. The term selfie again. Everybody's honoring their self anymore with selfies. I said recently that America is doing one big selfie of itself right now. Brethren, to me, those scriptures say, I have 6 days to pursue the things that I know I need to pursue or I want to pursue. But when it comes to the seventh day, God says plainly, you will delight in this day, and if you will honor it holy unto me, my holy day, I will cause you to ride on the high hills. That doesn't need a whole lot more commentary, because I think every one of us can form some strong convictions on those 2, 3, 4 scriptures there. God, by His Spirit, has fellowship with us individually every day of the week. Excuse me. We had Pentecost. I spoke on the Holy Spirit. God's rest is established in us through Jesus Christ in us and the Holy Spirit every day of the week. Individually, that rest is with us every day. Christ in us, giving us that rest of Christ in us, giving us that peace in us. But yet, do we not understand that the Sabbath day is a time of collective worship of the body of Christ? Turn to old scriptures that we've used, Leviticus 23. Again, letting God's Word speak. Letting God's Word show us. Leviticus 23, starting verse 1. Some of you, like me, have almost like paths worn in your Bible at certain places that we go back to. I said in Huntsville last week, why do we repeat some of these scriptures from time to time? Because I think, like a man told me for all those decades ago, I wonder sometimes if we get it. We go back because are we getting it? Leviticus 23, when God gave all the holy days, again, what did He start with? He went back to that original covenant, a day that has its own separate covenant from creation. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feast. Right out the gate tells us, these are my feast. We've known that. We understand that. My appointed times. We understand that. We have for decades. We never lost it. Don't intend to lose it. With the Spirit of God in us, don't intend to lose it. Look at verse 3. What does He start with? The Sabbath. 6 days, again, shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Brethren, convocation simply means a commanded assembly. A commanded assembly. God assembles with you individually every day of the week through His Spirit. But on this day, it's different, and it's made clear. We come together in a holy convocation as a collective group of people. I talked with my brother Rick about it this week. We talked together about this on the phone. He understands it. I understand it. You understand it. This day is different. It's special. It's got His name on it. The name that He put on it. The Sabbath. A time of rest. There again, that word in your original King James, the word for rest is simply a special holiday. Could it be better said? Memorial holiday was last weekend. Actually, the Memorial Day itself is always Monday, but yet we always say, okay, Memorial Day weekend. We look forward to that holiday. Times of refreshing, times of rest, type of, you know, if you Pentecost doesn't fall on that Sunday, we always, maybe you like to go fishing, or maybe you like to get out on the lake. But we understand that last week, Pentecost was a high assembly. The Sabbath is a high assembly. I hope we see again from Moses' words, inspired by God here, that the Sabbath leads out. I got a term for you, remember it. The Sabbath was minted at creation. God minted the Sabbath at creation. And He really put a focus on it. Proverbs 22, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. I'll quote it for you. Do not remove, and I've quoted this here before, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. If you want to get someone angry, as I brought this out a few months ago in a message, move the landline. Move their landline, or monkey with their landline. Men have killed each other over that. The Sabbath is a major landmark of God's, and we've moved it. When I say we, mankind has moved as major of a landmark as you could ever possibly move, and somehow tried to justify it. I know that you're tracking with me. I know that you understand what I'm saying. The Sabbath is God's major landmark from creation as a day designated of collective worship before Him. I want to quote Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 19 through 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 19 through 20. I am the Lord, your God. Walk in my statutes. Keep my judgments and do them. Verse 20. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord, your God. Brethren, the book of Ezekiel has duality. If you are a biblical student and you understand that, you'll know that Ezekiel has duality, because not only was Ezekiel the prophet dealing with those Israelites of his day and age, but Ezekiel has duality for us today, a modern Israel, and for those times even ahead. I won't even get today just simply to reference to it. I will reference at this point chapter 40 of Ezekiel, all the way through chapter 48, those last eight chapters, speak very clearly of a time in tomorrow's world when a new temple will be built, and how that God will resettle those 12 nations in what's called a holy district. And I think it's in chapter 46 you'll find the Sabbath being kept, in chapter 46 of Ezekiel, which is clearly a future time in tomorrow's world. I just thought at that point, referencing there in Ezekiel, I would bring that out. The Sabbath is a major sign between God and His people. We've known that from our point of conversion. We've never lost sight of that. The Sabbath and the holy days all are signs between God and His people, as we just read there in Ezekiel. The Sabbath is mentioned 75 times in the Old Testament. And if you were to read each instance of where the Sabbath is mentioned, those 75 times in the Old Testament, you would always find it with special distinction, special attention given to it. When you see the word Sabbath in Scripture, pay close attention. Because God, from the beginning, gave it special distinction and special attention as well. And it is always to be viewed in even our keeping of it. This is not a sermon today on how we keep the Sabbath. It's a sermon today on why we keep the Sabbath. And I think those of us who keep the Sabbath would most of all say, we love keeping the Sabbath. My father, all of you knew him. My mother did too. But perhaps because Dad always had, each week was grueling. Every week was so grueling in the business Dad was in. And I went through that business for decades, so I know what that business was like, the building business. Dad loved the Sabbath. He loved the Sabbath. He didn't like Sundays. He kind of called Sundays blue days because he knew he had to go back and hit it again on Monday. You know, sometimes I felt that way. You know, it's like the best part about Sundays was the winter when I could watch the NFL. But other than that, I didn't much care about Sundays, you know, if I was doing something else. Interject a little humor there. But the Sabbath is mentioned there 75 times in the Old Testament. The keeping of the Sabbath, if you have studied the story of ancient Israel, and you have studied throughout the Old Testament, and that nation of Israel, nothing was more serious to God than Sabbath breaking, along with idolatry. And sometimes those go together. The thing that God most caused Israel to always go into captivity was over idolatry and Sabbath breaking. Those were the two major issues that God had with ancient Israel. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, the prophet. And let's read here how God, through the prophet Jeremiah, viewed Sabbath breaking. Jeremiah chapter 17. Let God's word through the prophet Jeremiah speak on how serious it was to God for ancient Israel to violate the Sabbath day. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 19. My subheading in the New King James Bible is Hallow the Sabbath Day. Verse 19, thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you diligently heed me, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. A promise to make Jerusalem stand forever, if you will obey and keep this Sabbath holy. Verse 26, and they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Those were the words that Jeremiah spoke to Judah. Keep in mind, the other 10 nations had beforehand, under the heavy hand of Assyria, gone into captivity because of these very sins. And here Jeremiah, as you know, is now teaching the house of Judah. Teaching the house of Judah You likewise, if you do not turn and repent from this breaking of the Sabbath, you too will go into captivity. You know the story. Jeremiah, the words weren't enough. Judah too went into captivity, as you know. Brethren, it's very clear. Turn to Isaiah 56. Go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. We were just there. Isaiah chapter 56. Here, in the book of Isaiah 56. Let's look. Verses 1 through 8. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come. Note right out of the gate what is being talked about, salvation. And my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry free. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, plural again, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name, better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, that they shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and holds fast my covenant. Brethren, that word covenant, following, keep my Sabbath, makes it clear to me, and I think you as well, again, a covenant from creation. A separate divine covenant institution created from his point of creation. To be honored perpetually, forever. Verse 7, and even them I will bring to my holy mountain. We know that that stands for one day, the kingdom of God. The very government of God that will rule on earth and will rule for eternity, and make them joyful in my house of prayer, and their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. I have said here in a message before, right? We don't determine what proper worship is. God does. Again, get your own dirt. God could say to us, if you want to take your worship and call it worship, then go to some source other than my word, because God says to us plainly in his word everywhere how we are to worship him. We know that John 4, there about verse 24, tells us we worship God in truth and spirit. We just went over the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit is the great teacher. And it is by truth, it is by the Spirit of God that truth is revealed to us. Brethren, we're seeing through God's word the seriousness of keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. Again, 6 days that God created, and the seventh day, a day of rest, a solemn day of a special holiday, a special holy time that God gives us every week. I don't know about you, but I would hate to know that I have to work 7 days a week without a break. It has physical benefits, and most of all, by far more, the spiritual benefits. I see some shaking their head. The physical benefits alone are enough to keep it. And it brings us back, most of all, in communion with God together in a collective, commanded assembly of the saints. That's why we have people all over this world still congregating on the seventh-day Sabbath. It will never be lost. It is perpetual, and it will last into eternity. I want to cover something at the end. I'll ask you a question now. Has God changed course, though? Most people think he changed course nearly 2,000 years ago. This is not a sermon that I could preach, and I could do a sermon why it changed and how it was changed. That's not the intent today. I know that history as well. It again is, why do we keep the Sabbath? Why do I keep the Sabbath? But did God change? Has God changed? Let me just let God's word speak. We know the popular scriptures, Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow considering the outcome of their conduct." Again, we know, as Paul says, "You follow me as I follow Christ." Whoever wrote Hebrews is making it clear again. Those people, as I brought out last week in the Pentecost sermon, I've had many teachers, I've had many mentors. I've always followed those men that God has given the commission calling to teach. I've always, you do too, until they turn aside from God's word. Then you do not follow them. That white-haired man that I listened to for decades told us that long ago, "If I don't follow Christ, don't follow me." Many didn't listen, or they forgot that. By the way, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what do you take from that? If the writer of Hebrews says he's the same yesterday, today, forever, okay, let's see now. We know throughout Scripture various places I could go to. Who was the creator? Jesus Christ. Christ was the Logos that created everything. God the Father allowed Christ to do the creating. Then therefore, when it says he rested from his labor, who was that speaking of? The one that we know, 1 Corinthians 10:4 again, that rock in the wilderness who was Jesus Christ, Paul said, that was the Logos that created, that rested. Who was given the right to create the Sabbath day as a divine institution? Apparently Jesus Christ. He says he's the same yesterday, today, forever. What about Psalms chapter 119, verse 89? Psalms chapter 119, 89. I'll quote it for you. Love this little scripture. "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." That whole chapter 119 is about the commandments and the law. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Did God change between the two covenants? Did God somewhere, when he inaugurated the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ and the giving of the Holy Spirit, did God somewhere change horses in midstream, as we use that old term? Well, that's not what these verses tell me. That word will settle not only at creation. That word, that law, is eternal and has been eternal, always existing with God in Christ, because they are eternal, never with a beginning, never with an end. The law is eternal. They live by their own law. They are eternal light. They are eternal law personified. God abides by his own law. And by the way, make a point to plug here. God had peace and rest, that word rest, in his universe until Lucifer fomented rebellion and caused a third of the angelic beings to rebel as well. And from that point, actually, there has not been peace in God's universe. There will one day, ultimately, when Satan and his are banned forever, there will finally be peace for eternity and rest. This word rest is key when you see it in Scripture. Christ came to give us as first fruits, and by the giving of the Holy Spirit and Christ in us, again, yes, gave us that rest. We rest in Christ in us. We rest by the Spirit that gives us the understanding, the peace of all things. But that is a separate thing from saying that the Sabbath was done away because it's no longer having to rely on a rest on a physical day. It's a covenant, brethren. It's a divine institution. Do we get that? It was created to be that perpetually. What about Malachi? We were just there when I read that verse here a while ago. What about Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 and 7? "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them." There is no ordinance, law, commandment, covenant that man has more rebelled at than the seventh day Sabbath. And that's the same as in our world today. There is no command that they bristle at more. I heard someone say this past week on talk radio, speak of the hostility against Christianity. And when I heard that man speak of the hostility against Christianity, that's true. And I thought, Then why are so many of you so hostile against the Sabbath? And brethren, you know what I'm saying. Oh, we know we shouldn't steal. We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't commit adultery. We shouldn't bear false witness. We shouldn't have no other God before the true God. We should not take the Lord's name in vain, though we do it all the time. Well, why is it that number four is so hard? Why are so many so hostile to it? I'm still working on the reasons why. I do know the reason. It's another subject, because 2,000 years ago or so, there developed such a hatred of all things Jewish. And that's the background. I won't go into that today. And I've studied the trail of that. And it became a church at Rome instead of a church at Jerusalem, because all things that pertain to the commandments, the law of God, the holy days, the Sabbath, was attributed to Judaism. And thus, that's part of the history. I'll give you a snippet of it as to why it got changed after the apostles were dead. And I could go through a sermon. Maybe down the line sometime I'll do that. Just kind of giving a little bit of thumbnail sketch there. The Sabbath as a divine institution. I keep the Sabbath to remain faithful as a new covenant Christian, because I understand personally, and I know you do too, that it is there again brought forth under the new covenant. It wasn't replaced. It wasn't done away. Certainly wasn't. The other nine weren't done away under the new covenant. If you actually took away the other nine commandments and just did away with them, the law is not binding again, not to be kept, you wouldn't need, why would you set up all the rules and regulations that we have in a civil society? You do know, brethren, you do know this nation is special and has been. Now, let me back up. This nation was special. It's not so special anymore because of its lifestyle. We patterned our government from the Bible. All of our three branches of government, our whole system of laws is patterned after God's law. The problem is we haven't adhered to them. We've wandered from that. We've got the laws in place if we would just obey our own laws. See, that's what it comes down to. We simply anymore won't even obey our own laws. The laws that's on the books. And we wonder why we're, pardon me, going to Hades in a basket. Well, many do understand that. I'm thankful for those in our society who are trying to make a stand. I'm thankful that those who are trying to make a stand. By the way, the Sabbath is mentioned 60 times in the New Testament. 60 times it is mentioned in the New Testament, if I didn't miscount. It is mentioned 50 times in the Gospels. 50 times in the Gospels. That's primarily the writings of Christ, and many times by Christ mentioned. By the way, it's also mentioned 9 times in the book of Acts in its observance by the early church. Most of all, Christ kept the Sabbath. And I read nowhere in Scripture where he nullified it. Again, I will make comment. I've given the message here and brought it out 2 or 3 times over the last year. What he was the wave sheaf offering. Again, in chapter 23 of Leviticus, remember, he actually rose. He rose from going in that grave about sunset or right after on Wednesday afternoon, what we call Wednesday, and came out of that tomb probably about the ending of the weekly Sabbath on sunset or so, around that ending of the weekly Sabbath. He had long risen. The only rising that he did on that what we call Sunday morning was to rise to the throne of God and be honored as the wave sheaf offering. That is very plain in Leviticus 23. That's what he went to the throne of God and was glorified, as I have brought out. Again, no injunction. Go get your own dirt. Go get your own word. If you want to try to prove these things, you'll never prove it from this book. You'll never take God's word and prove that this Sabbath day is not still binding on a new covenant Christian. There's no way you can. Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 17. I went to these scriptures when I was growing up in the church. I had to go to these scriptures many times to answer when others of my peer group would tell me all that law, all the commandments, everything was done away at Christ's coming at the cross. I went to these verses more than any verses to try to, and it was always funny when I'd read these verses or quote these verses, I really didn't get much lip service after that from the ones who were challenging me on why I kept the Sabbath, the law of God, the commandments. Christ's words, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away." Can I stop right there just a moment? Has heaven and earth passed away yet? Now, this society is passing away. And as I said last week in Huntsville in the sermon, the obituary is being written right now. The obituary of this nation is being prepared and written. And we're dying and don't know it, although some do know it. But has heaven and earth passed away? I don't think so. Christ says not one jot until heaven and earth pass away. Not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Christ's words. Don't need to add a lot of commentary there. Let it say what it says. By the way, nothing's more central, there again, nothing's more central to our worship than the seventh-day Sabbath as we are here today. I love this. Well, first of all, let us go to chapter 22 of Matthew. There's another verse I was going to quote. Let's go to Matthew 22. You're there in the book of Matthew. Go there to Matthew 22. Let's look in verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34. Here are the Pharisees and Sadducees gathered around Jesus Christ. Verse 34 tells us. Verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, who there again was this great teacher in the law, this lawyer, probably thought he knew the scriptures, asked him a question, testing him. So you see what was actually going on, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Long have we understood, have we not, that first great command encompasses the first four. The last six are to each other. Christ plainly says, that first great command is those first four, very clearly what he's saying. Those are in essence to God. The last six, as we know, are how we treat and relate to each other. Even the fact that the number fifth command starts with honor your parents. Okay, that's clear. The Sabbath sits in the first great command. Honor, worship to God. What do? Pull the fourth one out, drop the third down on top of the five, and have nine? That's what society of the world does. And our question always is, why do you do that? Where do you get your permission? Take this book and show me where I'm to do that. We just slide the fourth one out, leave the nine, drop the third one down on top of the fifth one, so you have 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's in essence simply logically what we've done as a world. How do you justify that? You can't. Get your own dirt. Get your own word. You cannot take God's word and do that. It's not there. It's not there. Why do we keep the Sabbath? Why do I keep the Sabbath? What is my reason? Is it just because God says do it? Okay, I got to do it because you said to do it. If I want the blessing of the kingdom, I got to do it. What kind of an attitude would that be? Don't we read again 1 John 5:3? 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. I can quote it for you. You can jot it down in your notes. Been there before? "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." So that gives the answer. We keep the commandments because we love God. We observe the Sabbath because it is an honor, again, to keep it, to honor God in Christ in the keeping of it, and catch a lot of good physical R&R along the way as well. and then to spiritually come together. I got up this morning anticipating, looking so forward to seeing all of you. I hope you were looking forward to seeing each other. Do you not yearn to come together on the Sabbath in a holy convocation, all of us before God, and collectively worship before God? Fellowship. There's things I want to talk about with all of you after services. And you do with each other. You catch up. We were told 20 years ago, it's a yoke. Never believed it then. Don't believe it now. Didn't accept it as a yoke then. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Always has been. There is something so special from Friday night to Sabbath night. It's a sunset to sunset. Last night it was not a full moon yet. I thought about just pulling my chair up outside under the stars. The moon is about 3/4, I think, now. And I wanted to do it, but I was too lazy. I just felt like I'd rather sit in my chair inside. So I didn't. But it was just a lovely night. And there's something about a lovely Sabbath night or a lovely Sabbath day. It's just different. It's just a different feel to it. I love, as I've shared with all of you, I love to go down. There are those times that, you know, you might catch me sometime if some of the family members here that are my actual physical family, you might catch me sometime if you did the same thing doing it. There is a time from time to time that I will get up very early on a Sabbath morning, especially if it's a beautiful, I like doing it on a beautiful day where the sun is coming up, go buy McDonald's, get me some coffee, maybe get me a biscuit, and go down to the cemetery at Old Bethel, those of family in where mom and dad are buried, and just right after sunrise with a beautiful day unfolding and that quiet countryside setting, and just be there and just go back in the pages of my mind, memories, as Elvis Song says, and just go back. And of course, have many loved ones there, and just to be lost in my thoughts. That's just and it's always, I don't do this generally unless it's a Sabbath morning many times. Not that I don't ever go any other day, but it's something special about the Sabbath morning, because I knew how my parents loved the Sabbath and how they sought to honor God by keeping it. And they taught us that. Anyway, I wanted to pass. That's very personal to me and wanted to share that with you all. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. We've been here before again. Let's go there again. 1 John chapter 2. Can't go to these certain scriptures enough sometimes, I feel. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. John says here, older man here now, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Powerful words from John. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked." He's talking of Jesus Christ. "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Speaking of Christ. Christ in us already shining. But I always find it refreshing to look at John's words again. An old commandment that you had from the beginning. What's the first and only commandment of the ten mentioned from the very beginning? The Sabbath. Why was the Sabbath designated with great distinction and special attention at the very beginning as a very divine institution, as a very special covenant? And why weren't the others mentioned? We'll have to ask God one day. We're not given the answer. But we know that the Sabbath was. Do you think John wasn't referring very much to a special covenant day of the Sabbath that was also takes us back to beginning, the memorial of creation as well? Brethren, Christ in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 simply said, "The Sabbath was made for man." Consider and ponder that for a while. What did he really mean, the Sabbath was made for man? I think it becomes again obvious, as we who have kept the Sabbath for many years and decades even, if you truly love that special time and honor God and love God, it is not there again a burden, as John said there in 1 John 5 through again, it's not a burden, it's not a yoke around us. It is not being trapped in a day that's like a prison that we just can't wait till this day is over. No, brethren, it is very much created as a divine institution for those reasons already given to make sure that we remember God as our Creator, God is the one we honor, the fact that we come together in this holy convocation as the saints of God in a collective worship, it's all very clear. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Again, we know the reference as we've gone here different times in the past. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you, what? See the day, capitalized, approaching. We've always understood that is the Sabbath. And we're told, why would it say, the writer of Hebrew, why would he say to assemble together as you see the day approaching? Because from the beginning, it was given to Moses, re-given again, to be a day of a holy convocation of the people of God coming together in a holy commanded assembly set aside on a special day called the Sabbath. Brethren, it all continues to be very clear. God looks and puts special attention to the fact that the seventh day, again, is above all days of the week the only one that He gave a name to and points to always with special distinction and attention. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4 we start. Hebrews 4, verse 4. All the readings today have been from the New King James Version. Whoever wrote Hebrews again? For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this place, thou shalt not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, and do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Verse 9 is the clincher. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Long ago, that word in the Greek word is sabbatismos. It is the only time the word sabbatismos is mentioned in the New Testament, referring to the Sabbath day. Because we find in the Greek language, that word rest is 4520, which means there again, the repose, actually says the repose of Christianity. But yet this word came from the Greek word 4521 in the Greek, which means the Sabbath, our day of weekly repose from secular avocations. It's clear there remains a day of rest. I want to give you one last type clincher. Did you know that Jesus Christ put out a prayer request almost 2,000 years ago regarding this day? Jesus Christ put out, about 2,000 years ago, a specific prayer request that regards this day, the Sabbath day. You're looking at me as, what are you talking about? You ever hear of the Olivet Prophecy? Matthew 24, verse 20. Matthew 24, the Olivet Prophecy, verse 20. Christ gave a type of a warning at a time that is our day and age today, when all things at the end would culminate in these cataclysmic events that we, I feel, are now in the beginnings of. You're turning there. I will give you time to get there so you can see with your own eyes. a prayer request that he gave almost 2,000 years ago, when all this starts to really pop and happen. And pray, Christ said, that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Why would Jesus Christ say that almost 2,000 years ago of a time that is our day and age today? Why would he say, pray that your flight not be either in the bad times of winter or on the Sabbath? Unless the Sabbath, again, was perpetually the holy day of the week. Gave future consideration, highlighted the Sabbath day there, and told us, pray that you will not flee. And by the way, I'm not going to try to get us into Petra today. We did enough of that years ago. Let me just say down the line, I'll probably give a message that touches on that. God will take care of us one way or the other. As I've said many times, and I know you feel the same way, frankly, the grave's going to be the safest place. It's not easy to think about or pleasant to think about, but someone said to me this week, I've talked to many people this week, whoever it was I was talking to, we were talking, and I was thinking again, as I've said before, those people who will stand on their feet and be changed in the twinkling of an eye when the seventh trumpet sounds, those people who will have gone through all that they go through to that point, it's going to be horrible to witness what they will have witnessed. And you can fill the blanks in, I know you will, how bad that will be for what their eyes have seen. The Sabbath today, I gave a message here 2-3 years ago here, and I gave that Sabbath message a date with God. I don't have any other better way to express it. The Sabbath each week is a date with God. I gave that message that time and pointed that out. We come before God, it's like date time. You make a date, you make a date sometimes with your mate. Maybe the wife says, I think it's time we have a date night. Okay, good. It's bad when the husband has to ask the wife, You had to get a laugh out of that. But we know sometimes things are moving so fast in our life if you're married, and sometimes you almost feel like you're strangers in the night, and you see each other so rarely, it seems, because you're both so busy. And you say sometimes, well, let's make a date night. And you do that. God made a date with us every week, at the end of every week. It's a date time, and it should be a date that we enjoy. It's like you take your wife out on a date, or you're not married, and you take a date out, you enjoy that. I enjoyed my dating years. And I really enjoyed my married life. Much more. Much more. Okay. That's enough of that. Maybe for a married sermon down the line. Brethren, the whole world one day will keep this date. The whole world one day is going to keep this date. Turn to Isaiah. Back to Isaiah. Have you figured out Isaiah is a wonderful book? It's a wonderful prophetic book. The book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Looking in verse 22 and 23. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22 and 23. Says in verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth. I love to pause. So we see the setting. We've got here what? A new heavens and a new earth. Which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord. Again, perpetual. That word perpetual. So shall your descendants and your name remain, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. That is a future prophecy that no man can deny. Perpetual, again, a perpetual covenant. May I also bring out the millennium. The thousand-year reign of Christ. More and more you're hearing, from these, I'd say, secular ministries, preachers, what have you, out here in society. Are you not hearing more and more of them talk about a coming thousand years, a millennial reign? Brethren, 6 days God created. Seventh day He rested. 6 days, each day representing 1,000 years. 6,000 years of man's time. Then what? A seventh day represented by 1,000 years of millennial peace and rest. That is God's time, and primarily Christ and the saints. We know that the millennium is another parallel rest period of time applicable to the Sabbath day rest. Seventh day, 1,000 years. You see the correlating parallel. We've always understood that. And more out here are understanding it. What's so sad is how we thought we had this nail in place that we all understood years ago, and many lost that vision. No, they didn't lose it as much as Satan stole it from them. Remember, I've given that sermon before. If you don't have it nailed down in your life, Satan will steal it. If you don't have nailed down your convictions, if you don't have, as that nominal Christianity I spoke of, if you don't have it really anchored by this word, God's word, Satan will take it from you. The parable of the seeds, the four categories. One of those categories is he plucks up the word, right? He takes that word away from you. Many new converts I've seen in the decades I've been in the part of the modern church of God. How many new converts I've seen that Satan took it away from before it ever took root in the fertile soil? I've seen it. You've seen it. He will take it. A beautiful time coming when that 1,000 years, which will be another picture of the Sabbath day, a time when there will be rest, a time when there will be peace. I could just reference to chapter 14 of Zechariah. You can go there later. You'll find the ending verses, those ending verses there in Zechariah 14, about how you're in that millennial setting. And these nations are told to come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And some of them apparently will say, because you still have human nature, as I love to say, we don't want to come up and keep the feast. And God says, oh, you don't? Then I'll call plagues down upon you. It's registered right there in Zechariah, speaking of that future world to come. Well, I asked the question, which came first, they say, the chicken or the egg? We know the chicken came first because God created everything in its natural order and then had offspring. So we know the chicken was created so it could lay the egg. That's real logical. Why would he command nations to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and the world tomorrow when he gave the Sabbath in Leviticus 23 as the lead-out special covenant day that happens every week to keep? Why would he command you to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the world to come and not the Sabbath? Which is, again, illogical not to. Brethren, why do we keep the Sabbath? Why do I keep the Sabbath? I could give much more. But I see as I look at my time that I need to wrap this message. We stand on the solid foundation of God's Word. And if someone comes to me or they come to you and they ask you, why do you do what you do? Why do you keep the Sabbath? Why do you keep the holy days? Why do you keep the commandments or the law of God? Don't you know that was all nailed to the cross? Are you going to be able to explain it? But if you explain it, please don't go to any other source. It doesn't mean you can't use any other source. Please go here first. And it's really all you need. It's really all you need. Nothing like taking your Bible, again, in the privacy of your place of refuge at your home. It could be outside. It could be in a special room, your own private little place. Open it up, as I said last week on Pentecost, with the Spirit of God to teach you. Open it up. God will teach you. But you can't be stiff-necked. That's the problem with the whole world. Their neck won't turn. They're so stiff-necked now. Does not modern Israel, America, bear the same stiff-necked approach to God's laws and commandments as did ancient Israel? It's in our DNA. It's even in our physical DNA. And that's another deep mystery that most don't understand. We do. We understand who Israel is modern. We understand physically who we are as a people. We can be the most stubborn people on the face of the earth. And to have been given the most to do the least with it. Well, I've said enough today. I hope that we get a whole lot better idea fundamentally of why we come together on the Sabbath. So much more could be said. The Sabbath, I keep the Sabbath on the solid evidence of His Word. And please don't try to use any other word to convince me differently, because His Word will never fail, but your Word will always fail if you try to go to any other source other than His Word to prove why you don't.